All right, guys, welcome back to Shakedown Shan. Today I am in the studio physically. It's been a while, but it's been an awesome time with Caleb at home and everything. And today he's home with Joey for a little bit, so that should be exciting.
We have to do that.
Yeah.
And I must say, I don't have to put the cardboard cutout of you in that chair because you're here. So I can keep that in the cellar until your next child.
So not too much exciting has been really going on. We did get a new car. It's not new, but it's new to us. I don't know if I've mentioned it on here yet, but we got a family car. We got a Subaru Outback.
That's nice.
It's going to be about time to retire the Honda Civic Coupe. It's a little difficult to get a car seat out of a coupe.
Really? How was the Subaru?
Subaru is great.
They say they're great cars.
Oh, yeah. It's so comfortable, and it's so roomy. We honestly needed something to put the dog in.
Uh-huh.
We can put him right in the back, just open up the hatch, and he goes in there. He's not too fond of it, but he is happy that he doesn't get left home, and we go hiking now. So
well, that's good.
Yeah,
that's good.
We just couldn't have him in the back seat because anytime he sees a squirrel, he goes crazy because he's part beagle.
Yeah. Ours is a pit bull terrier, so same thing.
Yeah, and he would just, he doesn't care who's in his way. He would, like, smash the baby's head in with his paws, so it's really, really bad.
Well, he's getting big, too, right?
I mean, he really hasn't grown in the past year. He's kind of full grown now.
Really?
Yeah. He's, like, taller than a beagle, just a tad shorter than a retriever, but he's not big like a retriever. He's really skinny. He just has a good metabolism or something. But he's good size.
Well, he's got to have a good metabolism. You go hiking all the time. So
yeah, we keep him active.
Yeah.
And then he's a picky eater, too. Like, if we're not home or something, he doesn't eat until we get home.
Yeah, our dog does that, too.
Huh. I wonder
or
why they do
when
that.
I'm home, if my wife's out, she won't eat.
Huh.
Only when my wife's home.
It's so interesting why they do that. But, I mean, we keep food down for him all the time, so he just eats when he wants to.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, he's a good dog. It's good to have him in the car again.
Yeah.
Definitely.
It is. Well, I'm glad.
Yeah.
You know, now you've got three.
yep, three
you
cars.
You, Joy, and three. So, oh, and they all have to have back seats on in the back seat, so.
Mm-hmm. Oh, seatbelts.
Seatbelts.
Yes. I just heard about that. Joey mentioned it to me that it's a new law.
Yep.
I did not know that.
Yeah, Cuomo passed it. There's signs all up and down the North
Bay. I saw them, and I was confused because I must have missed it somehow.
I don't think anybody knew it until there were commercials on TV, like Buckle Up or
Yeah, we don't watch cable TV, so, like, I only see what comes across on the internet or listening to podcasts or something. It's just not been, like, big news, I guess.
Yep.
I think it's all part of trying to get back some money that the troopers lost.
Yeah.
Pulling people over and ticketing for seatbelts, probably. Who knows? Joey said that it's probably not the case because they've been trying to do that for a while. And I'm sure they have been trying to do that for a while, but I think they finally passed it through to try to get back some money, which is kind of sick. I mean, honestly, a seatbelt law is not going to make anyone that doesn't wear a seatbelt, really.
No.
And if that's the risk they want to take in a car, that should be their choice of risk. Like we were talking about beforehand, before we got on the show today, with all the COVID shutdowns and stuff and how we just don't think that, you know, locking down and shutting everyone down and closing down businesses is really the way to go because people should be able to assess their own risk because a lot of, you know, younger, healthier people don't have to worry about getting so sick or, like, potentially dying from COVID unless they have underlying causes. And that should be a discussion that people have with their doctors and that they have with themselves and their family about whether or not they should take their own precautions and stay home and maybe have their groceries delivered or have someone in their family go get stuff for them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it's not right to lock up perfectly able people and shut down their businesses.
No, I told you I went to get a haircut yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And her husband works for the state, and, you know, again, we talk a lot before the show, but he works for the state, in a supervisory capacity, and the rumor going around the state building is that our King Cuomo will be shutting the state down on the 24th, which is probably, what, Thanksgiving or the day before.
I think maybe the day, today's the 22nd, so yeah, Tuesday.
Tuesday, yeah, and that's when all schools end pretty much. Yep. So, I mean, I just don't understand the logic of closing down. See, personally, what I would do if they're worried about COVID, I think the teachers are more worried about getting it than the kids. And
children are shown to not even be, like, super spreaders.
Exactly.
Which is ridiculous. And if social distancing and masks work.
Right.
They're socially distanced. They're wearing masks in school. And they're sanitizing everything like crazy.
And in some schools, they're in cubicles.
Right. They have plastic. Like half of these schools are remote, too. Right. Like half the children are staying home. But, I mean, if these things all work, if they're telling us follow the science, this works, and blah, 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 why are we shutting down again? It just makes you question. And that's what people should be doing, is questioning everything. You shouldn't just take this all for fact at its face.
What did President Trump, and I admire him, how he handled COVID, because what did he say when things were leveling off? He said, we have to open the country. He said, there's more people that are dying than just from COVID. The suicide rates are going up. Drug use is going up, spousal abuse is going up, and the kids aren't learning, and they need that. They need to be in school. And he kept pressuring that, and everybody said he was crazy, he doesn't know how to handle it. And it comes to find out that what he was saying was the right thing to do. Now, if you're 70, 75 years old, and you have high blood pressure, diabetic, and you're overweight, well, yeah, maybe, like you said, hey, those are the underlying conditions that you have to watch out for.
Right, and you should take it upon yourself to keep yourself safe.
Yeah.
Because I was looking up, because of all this new shutdown stuff, people are getting in a panic over Thanksgiving and holidays, and should we really be spending time together? And, you know, this panic wasn't here a week ago. And now all of a sudden that you've got Cuomo on TV again and on his press conferences, and you've got the media spikes and hospital increases, and you need to panic. You've got people worrying because they're being told to worry. And it's just funny to me that a week prior, cases, according to the science, cases would have been rising a week ago, right?
Right.
If they're showing up now that they're rising, so they're rising a week ago too. But no one was worried about it because no one told them to be worried about it a week ago. So I was interested in thinking about all the risks that we decide to take in our everyday lives. If you work somewhere away from your house, you have to get in your car and go to 5 days a week or whatever. You decide to get in your car and take that risk of getting in a fatal car accident.
Mm-hmm.
That's a risk that you're saying, I'm willing to take this to go get to my job, to get money, to pay for my lifestyle. Mm-hmm. That's a risk that you tell yourself is okay to take. So I was like, I wonder what the number is of car accident deaths a year. Worldwide, it's 1.35 million.
Okay.
And I'm like, I wonder what that is compared to COVID. It's almost been a year. I think it was like, December COVID came around, but we didn't really hear about it here until February. So it's almost December, so it's almost been a year. COVID is at 1.34 million deaths worldwide, and that's if you take that number for true value, because we don't know how many deaths were written off as COVID that weren't COVID. But either way, if you take it at that, they're about the same, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, no one's advocating for less car travel, and everyone just says that risk is okay to them because it's so minimal, right? And then you get this COVID scenario that's like this the same statistic, And when you tried to say this back in March, you're like, oh, you're crazy. We don't have enough information because it hasn't been a year yet. And it's like, okay, well, it has been a year now. It's about the same amount of deaths as car deaths in a year worldwide. So how come healthy, able people are not able to assess that risk factor that is, you know, pretty small in the scheme of things?
Sure, but very deadly.
Right, and so is a car accident. You can get really messed up in a car accident. And, you know, it's wild to me to think that people are okay with, I mean, it's okay to say I'm not willing to take this one risk over this other one. But again, that should be their choice. You shouldn't force everyone to not be able to choose that this is a risk they're willing to take.
Sure. Well, you know, it's just like the vaccine that they're coming out with. Now, everybody thinks, and of course, you know, the not yet elected Biden is saying that he'll cure COVID once the vaccine comes out. But as we all know that, all right, let's say COVID is easier to catch than the flu, all right, because it's a different strain. How many people get the flu shot and still come down with the flu?
Right. It's not guaranteed to cure
right.
COVID. And what if COVID sticks around like the flu? What if it keeps changing?
Right,
every year it's different. It's going to take a long time. I know our science is great, right? We're so far advanced than 100 years ago when we're dealing with flus and stuff.
Right.
And yes, but I mean, you can only predict so much. And even then, it's still just a prediction.
Well, our flu shots this year are based on the year before.
Right.
So will the vaccines for next year that come out be based on the COVID for this year?
Right.
Because,
there's just,
you know, it's
still
gonna mutate.
So much unknown.
Yeah. I just, I don't know. I think we're just we're sheep. I mean, like, Cuomo still won't answer how many people he's responsible for in nursing home deaths, which is over 6,000. Then that's that's not including the nursing home deaths that were sent to the hospital and died in the hospital.
People who were treated with ventilators, and the ventilators only made it worse.
Right.
Because we didn't know how to treat COVID. And we still don't know exactly, but we know more than we knew then.
Oh, yeah.
And it turned out ventilators were not the best option. And it's funny because when this all started coming out, it was, we need ventilators. Ventilators are how we're going to get rid of this and blah, blah, blah. And our hospitals are overrun and they don't have enough ventilators. And it's like, well, okay, a few months down the road, we're finding out that they didn't even really help that much.
They caused permanent lung damage.
Right. And so how can you take any of these definites coming out of the news right now that we need to do X, Y, and Z because X, Y, and Z definitely work because the science tells us. How can you take any of that for fact right away because of how many things that we've heard and everyone's come out with that turned out to not be true or just not work at all? And so I can't take any of this information coming out. True, and that's why I'm saying people should be able to just go out and risk this if they feel like they can.
And as long as they say masks and social distancing are the thing. But you know what? They love panic. I went into Walmart yesterday to pick up a few things. And
people are panic buying.
Paper aisle, toilet paper, paper towels, napkins, empty. Not a one on Kleenex, not a one on the shelf. So what do? They hear these things by our political people, and boom, they go out, they start panicking, and it's just ridiculous. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen to our country, especially
in the next
4 years.
Uses reason and logic and deductive reasoning just to come to a conclusion on their own.
Yep.
They just take what they hear on the news and they get all these buzzwords and they're told to panic and they start freaking out.
They just want to believe there. And there's a lot of people that will believe anything the government says.
Right.
I mean,
because
a lot of
why would they say anything to make us freak out?
Right.
But I understand. Okay, so you get people that are like, well, why would they be telling us this if it wasn't true? Okay, well, there may be an increase in cases. How much? I don't know. I don't know if the number they're telling you may be a little exaggerated or under exaggerated. Who knows? We don't really know.
Right.
And I mean, why wouldn't they want everyone in a state of panic?
Because they can control. That's what they want.
Right, because they get the most ridiculous pieces of legislation pushed through when people are scared.
Mm-hmm.
Post 9/11, we got some of the worst legislation put through against our rights as citizens, like the Patriot Act. I think that went through then, right? That's, or was it renewed or something?
No, that was, it was a Homeland Security went into.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we got all that TSA nonsense.
Correct.
But I mean, when people are in a panic and scared, they look to government and say, please help.
Yeah.
And it's scary that people do that.
Well, it's scary because if it's a temporary thing.
Right.
It's never temporary. The law's never temporary. Once they pass it, it's there for life. So your rights are infringed upon forever.
That's the word, infringed. I can think of it.
Right, in that aspect. And, you know, it's like the seatbelt law we were talking about. How soon is it going to be before it's mandated that we wear helmets when we drive? Because it'll cut down on the risk of head injuries if we're in car accident. I mean, can you? I can see that down the line. I really can. Would you get some of these liberals that want to? I can see them saying you have to wear helmets when you drive.
Right, or something silly like that. I mean, it's really sick to me that this whole time, and I know we've talked about COVID a lot, and everyone has, but I mean, it is the biggest thing that we're going through besides this election.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just something we've never seen in our lifetimes before, and nothing on this scale, at least. But it really sickens me that this, if it saves one life, nonsense, because like we talked about with the cars,
right?
It's the same amount of deaths per year worldwide, and we're not telling people to try to work from home if you can, because if don't it saves on one roads. Life, don't get a car, ride your bike if it saves one life. Like, it's sick. And then to have all these neocons that support bombing children in third world countries if it saves one life, how privileged. I'm going to use their own buzzwords. How privileged are we to tell people, no, don't go to work. Sit at home, play on your smartphone. We'll send you a check and just you relax. We got this. If it saves one life, we need to shut down for a little bit while we press the button to drop a bomb in a third world country and kill all these children.
Right. Well, you know,
Thank you, government.
We appreciate you're there.
Yeah.
And just get more powerful. We just want you to run our lives.
We need your help so much right now.
But I was surprised to learn, and I guess I shouldn't have been, that President Obama had, I think it was like 1,200 drone strikes over in the Middle East, in different places, Syria, Turkey, and all. And he killed a lot of women and children that were collateral damage.
Right, and it's sick that they're called collateral damage.
Right, and he's you know, saying bad stuff about Trump. Man, I don't know. I mean, Trump, as far as I know, has only killed, like, number one and two terrorists. You know what I mean? The number one or number two in the chain.
Well, he's continued drone strikes, too.
Well, he has, but I mean, it's targeted.
I don't know their numbers.
Strikes. Yeah.
But either way, they all have collateral damage.
He's been wanting to pull troops out of Afghanistan and Syria, and it's the military that keeps saying, no, you can't do it. And he says, well, we've been in the war for 19 years. You have to pull out sometime. I mean, we're never going to win it.
I don't know. I don't remember the name, but some blue check mark on Twitter was talking about how they need to continue this war in Afghanistan. There needs to be continuous war. And people have this mindset.
Mm-hmm.
And it's disgusting. But yeah, anyway, I just save one life group. I don't get it. Oh, also, we were talking about how masks and social distancing, if they work, why do we need to shut down? If you say that, like, because I put out a post about it the other day, you know, if these work, like everyone say they do, why do we need to shut down? Why is this being a problem now? It doesn't follow the narrative. And, of course, everyone gets on, well, people aren't doing it right.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
So that is their defense to it. And, okay, maybe people aren't doing it right. But let's also talk about the fact that there is scientific evidence. If you want to be the follow the science group, there is scientific evidence coming out that masks and social distancing don't actually help decrease the spread of the disease or from you catching it. And that it's all just there to make you feel good. Mm-hmm. And see how easy it is to get you to obey something. But they don't want to follow that science. They just want to pick the science that suits their narrative.
That's right.
Which, I mean, there's science all across the board. And we don't know what is exactly true yet. Because it's evolving information. And we're not going to know for a while. And so to just implement these things and say for definite that these work or these don't work, just isn't fair to the people.
And who does it hurt the most? I mean, people were glad to stay home in the spring and summer because they were making more money than they did working. So right. They were happy.
And then they could be out on a boat and enjoying life.
The small businesses, the people that are family-run businesses or one, you know, a single owner, they're the ones that were hurt. Mm-hmm. Because people were so afraid of going into these small businesses, they'd still go to the big shopping places, that so many of them have to close now. So many restaurants have to close because they just couldn't.
Right,
I mean, they were shut down permanently, not permanently.
And there's places starting to shut down now saying that there's such a decrease in traffic because now it's colder, people have to go inside, people are afraid, the panic is rising again and there's looming shutdowns that, you know, they have to close before they're even told to, which is sad. It's people, these small businesses that were able to pull through the first shutdown are gonna have a hard time pulling through another one.
Yeah, they probably won't. A lot of small businesses, independent owner businesses. I mean, if you're not making money, that's your life, and you can't qualify for a PPE loan unless you have over, I think it's 25 employees that you keep working. Mm-hmm. So if a person owns a store and they have four or five people working the store, they're not going to be able to get any loans, and they probably don't make much money themselves to begin with because the rent, and I always look at downtown Broadway, I mean, the rents are $6,000-$7,000 a month. If you are a dress store owner, because there's quite a few of those downtown, and you're paying that amount of money for rent plus lights and heat and insurance, how much money can you pay your employees and then have enough left over for yourself? Not much.
No.
So you close your business down for a certain amount of time, and people say, yeah, but look at all the overhead you don't have to pay. Well, I didn't make $10,000 a month, and I'm not making anything now. And, it's sad.
Right.
It's sad.
And then the people that are for the shutdowns, when you bring that up to them, they're like, well, it's okay because saving lives is more important than saving these businesses. And there are government programs there that are going to help them, and we will rebuild and we will get through this.
Yeah.
And it's like, that is the most selfish BS ever. You're not the one dealing with this. You have no idea what these people's financial situations are. What if these people have kids they need to put food on the table for? And you know what? They made too much the past year, like just barely to get any of these government programs you're talking about.
Right.
These people just say these things without thinking, without even knowing the situation or realizing it, and sugarcoat it so much. And honestly, it sucks to say this, but the people who are going to end up dying of COVID are older. They're not the ones running the businesses. They're not the ones that are going to prop up the economy of the future generation. The people that are getting hurt the most economically are younger generation, are in their 30s, ones who are healthy, who are going to survive this. And hurting them is only going to hurt, you know, my children
mm-hmm.
and their economic future.
Well, you know, the other thing, too, is that, and see, during that massive amount of time from March until September when they let things open up, you had small, let's say, convenience stores have to close. And, you know, a lot of places like the gas stations at convenience stores were able to stay open. And the employees worked. And I don't know how many of them caught COVID and died, but, you know, I don't think it was many, if at all. But you had a lot of the smaller convenience stores without gas stations that had to close. Now, here you let, and clothing stores, none of them were right. open. Now, here you have Walmart, who has a grocery on one and then clothes and whatever,
right.
department store on the other end, and they left them open. Mm-hmm. Now, if truth be told, if they were so afraid of, you know, everybody catching it, wouldn't they have partitioned off the grocery store?
Right, and said so you can only come here for essential items.
That's right, but no.
It all goes to show you that it's not about who's essential and who's not. It's about who's in the hands of government pockets. And it's obviously not your mom and pop store or local restaurant.
No.
It's not. It is all these big business stores who are for more regulations, who are for more red tape to keep competition out, to shut down these smaller businesses, and they know that. And I had something on my head, and I forgot it now.
Well, I just want to say one thing about COVID is so bad. There's so many people out of work. So many people need help. But when the stimulus package ran out and Pelosi wanted to go for $3.5 trillion, the Republicans ended up negotiating down to like $1.9
trillion. Mm-hmm.
And she said, no, we want what we want or nothing.
Yeah, they're going to use the shutdowns, I remember now. They're going to use the shutdowns as a ploy, I think, to push Medicare for all. Because all these people losing their health care through their employers that are shutting down or can't afford to keep them on health care plans,
mm-hmm.
They're going to be like, all these people are without health care now. And it's going to be some emergency to push Medicare for all or whatever Biden wants. He wants some kind of, I don't think he's exactly for Medicare for all.
No, but he's
some other
for
plan.
Some sort of program that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, so, you know, if it was so important to get a package passed for the Democrats and just take out things like $50 billion to study marijuana effects on lab rats, or clean air, you know, $20 billion for clean air protection. Take that out, because that's not COVID related.
Right. I mean, if it was really that important to get
right.
people their money for shutting them down and telling them they can't
now
work.
Now she's crying. Families don't have enough to eat for
it's
the holidays.
So sick.
And
I mean, all politicians do that on all sides of the spectrum. If they don't get what they want to get put through, they're going to cry and blame the other side and say they're holding it hostage. And it's never about what they're saying it's about. It's always about all these other things, like the first stimulus check with bailing out the airlines and everything.
Right.
It's like, what is the main?
We're medium-sized. You know, when I talk to you, I always lose my voice. You have that. You have that certain something that I lose my voice.
Maybe it's dry in here.
Yeah, it could be.
Maybe
it could be. Maybe I should bring a little humidifier in.
Maybe.
Yeah, I never thought of that.
I know, or maybe because winter, when the heat comes on, we have radiators in my apartment,
okay.
and they put off dry heat.
Oh, this does too, because I can't control the heat in here.
Yeah.
And it's, well, you know, when you come in, sometimes it's overpowering, so I have that little fan. But, you know, you're right. I should run a little
Yeah, I always put my humidifier on when we turn the heat on, because, like a week after turning the heat on, I'm like in the middle of the night, like chugging bottles of water.
Yeah, or touching something and getting electrocuted, you know, because too much static in the air. But you know, you're right. That's probably it, because I get it here. That's probably about it.
Yeah.
First, I thought it was you. I was going no, but no, I know it's a sad place our country's in right now, and everybody was complaining, oh, look at Finland, look at Sweden, look at France, look at Denmark, and they're all having problems now. So it's not, and they were a lot stricter on controlling it.
Right.
But, you know, I always go by President Trump. I honestly thought he is one of our best presidents next to President Reagan. I really do. He was a businessman. He knew how to get things done, cutting through red tape. And I just, you know, what he was saying over the summer, you have to open up, you have to open up. That's the only way you can get people in the frame of mind. And, you know, you got to get the economy going, because you keep people home or kids out of school and it's going to do more damage. Now, I was telling you about the unemployment thing when I came in, about how my hairdresser, you know, and her husband works for the state. Mm-hmm. And she said that he talked to one of the people in the unemployment department, and they said it's going to take 8 years for the state's unemployment figures to get back up, because there are so many people collecting unemployment. Now, we're going to have to pay for that.
Oh, we won't. My children and grandchildren.
Well, in the next 8 years, in the next 8 years, though, I'm talking about the state, not the federal.
Oh, okay.
So what they're going to end up doing is probably taking more money out of your paycheck.
Oh, yeah.
For unemployment.
And people are going to get hard in taxes.
Oh, sure. Well,
but you know what? I think they're going to come up with some kind of great idea or plan, because, you know, you got all these people making more in unemployment and stuff, and they're not realizing that, oh, I made more, so maybe it'll put some people in a bigger tax bracket, and then they're going to do their return and be like, oh, my God, I owe $3,000?
Yeah, that's what I'm afraid of.
It's going to be a big shock. They're going to come out with something that's going to be like, you know what, we're going to forgive taxes this year.
You think so?
I don't know.
Well, they're going to forgive student loan, which is over $1 trillion.
I wouldn't put it past them.
Well, I wouldn't either, but I know Biden's going to raise taxes on, he says, anybody making over $400,000. But let me tell you, and he wants to roll back Trump's tax breaks. Well, when Trump came out with his tax breaks last year, my payroll taxes went down. My federal tax withholding went down significantly. Mm-hmm. Now, if he takes them back, my payroll taxes are going
to
go up.
I mean, and not even just to mention that, like, when taxes get increased on people that make more, it always just falls on to us.
Well, sure.
Because the prices of our goods go up.
Yep.
And you say that to anyone on the left, and they're like, well, if I have to pay $3 for a bag of chips instead of $2, I'm perfectly fine with that.
Yeah, because they're making the money.
And no, I'm saying if you say that to someone on the left.
Okay.
They're like, well, if my potato chips go up more, then I'm okay with that. It's like, we're not talking about your potato chips. We're talking about, you know, grocery bills and, like, essential items for families that, you know, over the course of a year, it's going to be a significant increase. We're talking about people that are going to be laid off due to increased taxes. It's going to be so expensive to keep people on. They're going to cut people's jobs out. They're going to find different alternatives. And that's going to negatively affect the economy as well. And
right. Our bracket, which we don't make $400,000.
Right.
Okay. And, you know, they always say big business doesn't pay taxes, which I find insane. Because you get a big company that employs 3,000 people. Look at all the taxes they have to pay.
Right.
And then they're paying taxes. I mean, they pay quarterly taxes.
And then they also pay some of the highest wages.
Exactly.
Like, if you've ever seen Walmart's now hiring at like $15 an hour signs, that's above minimum wage here.
That's right.
And, you know, you can go to McDonald's and get $15 an hour, no experience right off the bat. And that's incredible because you start as like a B-rate plumber and you get $12.75.
Yep.
And you're doing a lot harder work.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'll give you an example. Now, I drive a school bus, okay? And January 1st, the minimum wage is going up. My monitor will be making $2 less than I do. And I'm driving the bus. I have all that responsibility for the kids mm-hmm. and for the bus and for traffic. Mm-hmm. And I'm only going to be making $2 more than him because when minimum wage goes up, we never get that increase.
Right. No, only the people who are at minimum wage
right.
have to go up. And that's how it goes. It's not... pretty soon, everyone's going to be, like, at the same level,
mm-hmm.
even though their job skills and experience may be different, because people can barely afford to just raise their minimum wage employees to keep up with minimum wage.
Yep.
And it's not right to the people who were, you know, a few steps above. Say minimum wage is 10, and you're making 12 an hour, but someone you work with is making the 10 minimum wage. When that goes up to 11, they're going to have to go up to 11, but you don't get a dollar raise.
Right.
Because, you know, your small business, family-owned employer can't afford that.
Well, my where I work, we were supposed to go on, they were supposed to call us into the office, each, you know, employee, and they were supposed to give us, excuse me, a performance raise. Mm-hmm. If you showed up for work, you know, I mean, in 7 years, I've only taken 3 days off from work, okay? So I would have qualified for the work part of it. And then if you do a good job, you know, are you considerate and things like that? And they never, it was merit-based pay, basically, and they never mm-hmm. did it. I mean, so I figure next year, when the minimum wage goes up next year, my monitor will be making the same as I do.
Right.
And I think that's pitiful because... I've got too much responsibility over my monitor to,
right.
I mean, he's watching six kids.
And so then again, it comes down to, you know, it should be the responsibility and the discretion of the employer and the employees making a agreement
sure.
on what the job is worth and what your labor is worth. Mm-hmm. Just like when it comes to COVID or your everyday risk assessment. You know, government gets their hands in too many things, and they shouldn't be in the business and of risk
no.
mitigation.
No, but they're government. They're politicians, and politicians equal power, mm-hmm. and they'll do anything to get power. And that's the thing I liked about Trump was he could care less what people thought of him. He wanted to do the right thing, and he didn't have to worry about siding up with a congressperson to make him feel cool just to get a vote or whatever. He didn't have to do that because he's not a politician. You know, these lobbyists, he didn't care about them. But, you know, it's like the governor in California. He tells everybody to stay home, no more, and nobody in a group of more than six, I think, out there. And then he's at a party.
Yeah.
With lobbyists.
It's all hypocritical.
And sure it is. That's what I'm saying. Our government is nothing but a bunch of hypocrites.
Right. So that's the spiel on COVID. I think I'm going to have to cut it there for today.
Okay.
So my closing advice to anybody in New York State area, especially upstate, if you are a full-time working family with school-age children attending public school, get your backup plan ready.
Yes.
Make sure you have a plan of what you're going to do with your children because your school is shutting down.
That's right. And
schools
de Blasio,
are shutting down everywhere.
And what people are upset in New York City was Bill de Blasio closed the schools at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and they were going to close the next day. And a lot of parents can't get things set. In a half a, or when they get home from work, they can't set up a babysitter, all the other stuff. And so they're going to have to miss work, and it's not good. So be prepared.
No, I've already been seeing posts from some of my mom friends that are like, well, you know, my kid's school just canceled or just closed until the new year. And as a full-time working single mother, what do I do?
I know it. Well, the thing, too, is that schools are starting to come out now and say to teachers and students, make sure you have materials at home. Mm-hmm. So if school's canceled, you're prepared.
Right.
Because we don't want to hear anything about, oh, we don't have the materials, or from teachers in that, or we don't know what we're going to do. Have it. Mm-hmm. And
I'm so good. I saw this coming from a mile away last year.
I know you did.
I was like, this is going to happen again. We're going to shut down again. Kids are going to get sent home. I'm like, I am pulling Noah from public school. I've been wanting to do it for a while, but I am not dealing with this COVID nonsense. And it just reeked of this is going to be chaos once again.
Well, it's going to be chaos, and I know we have to close, but I just want to make you think about one thing. Parochial schools and private schools are open. They're not, they were in full class, and they may even stay open through the mandate, and they haven't had a problem because people that come down with COVID test positive, there's a 99.99%
right.
Rate.
Again, the survival rate is so high, I don't understand.
And even if you're over 70 with overlying conditions, it goes down to 99.98%. Mm-hmm. So private schools and parochial schools said, we're staying open. It's too important for the kids. So
yes,
we'll see what happens next time.
Yep. So get your plans ready. If you need a babysitter, I got you. I'm home all day. I need a job.
Yes, and you don't charge that much.
Nope. All right.
Oh, all right. Well, hopefully we'll see you next week.
Yeah, that would be good.
Yeah, bring in some leftover turkey. Now you can't eat turkey.
I don't eat turkey.
All right.
I don't like Thanksgiving.
Oh, gosh. Here we go. All right. Well, have a good weekend.
Bye.
Bye.